All right, take your Bibles tonight if you have them, and I hope that you do. Turn with me to the book of 2 Timothy chapter 2, 2 Timothy chapter 2, and also put your thumb there, your finger there, and then also turn with me to Exodus chapter 23. How many of you are going through a Bible reading plan this year? How many of you are doing that? All right, fantastic, fantastic. Well, when I received the call from Pastor this afternoon, and he said, "Brother Earl, I'm not feeling too well. I need you to preach tonight." You know, as assistants, as assistant pastors, we're always that the verse for assistant pastors is to be ready in season, out of season. And I was not preparing to preach tonight. I was just preparing to get some of my seminary classwork done and send some emails out and do some just church things that were my responsibility. And then, of course, everything changed when that call came. And I'm thankful that Pastor, I want to just thank Pastor for the opportunity and for him trusting me to preach in just such a short notice. And that means a lot to me. And I just want to be a blessing to my pastor. And I love my pastor. And I appreciate him so much. But I wanted to speak to you tonight, as I asked before, how many of you are going through a Bible reading plan for the year? And I've already gone through the book of Genesis. I've already gone through the book of Mark. And I'm in the book of Exodus right now. And as I was reading it this morning and thinking about some things, that meditating on some of the things that I read this morning, this thought came to me as soon as after Pastor asked me to preach tonight. And so I want to preach to you tonight on the subject of the snare of serving other gods. The snare of serving other gods. If you'll notice that the word gods there is not capitalized, and that's for a purpose. But I want us to look here at 2 Timothy chapter 2, and beginning in verse number 24. And notice what Paul is writing here to Timothy. He says this, "And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient, in meekness instructing those that oppose himself, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth." And I want you to notice verse 26 here. It says, "And that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will." Now, there's several things from this verse that I want to point out in introduction of where we're going to go tonight. First of all, it says the servant of the Lord. Now, that is not talking about the pastor. That's not talking about the staff. That's not even talking about your Sunday school teacher. You know who that's talking about? It's talking about you and I. The servant of the Lord. How many servants do we have here tonight? And if you're a born-again Christian, if you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, every one of our hands ought to be up, because we all are a servant of our Lord. Isn't that right? Amen. So we're all servants. And what are we doing? We're rescuing people, or we ought to be rescuing people from the snare of the devil. And looking out in our culture and world today, we all know that there are a lot of people that are in the snare or in bondage to the devil. Now, they may not think that I'm not necessarily talking about devil worshipers or Satanists or anything like that. I don't want to give them the time of day. But they are in bondage to their sin. They are in bondage or a servant or in a snare, in bondage to some type of sin or some type of idol or something that's taking their attention away from their relationship with God. And it says there that we must not strive. That really means that we're not to go to war or quarrel or dispute or argue. You remember Pastor mentioned this Sunday, for we don't war against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, against rulers of the darkness of this world and spiritual wickedness in high places. He expounded that greatly Sunday morning. And if you didn't listen to that message, let me encourage you to go back and listen to that message. But did you notice here where it says, "And that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil"? I like to I like to use take words and research them, especially as I'm reading and studying the Word of God. And we call it dissect and define. We call it ponder and prove and different things. So we want to look at that. I looked at that word snare there. And what does that mean? It means to catch with a snare, to ensnare, to entangle, to bring into unexpected evil, perplexity, or danger. You know, Psalm 9:16 tells us that the wicked is snared in the work of his own hands. You know, I'm reminded as I had been reading through my Bible beginning in Genesis chapter 1 and going through the creation and the creation of man and woman, of Adam and Eve, and then you get to chapter 3 and you get into how sin affected the world. And if you remember from Genesis chapter 3 that the devil kind of tricked Adam and Eve into thinking that God was trying to keep them from something. And if you remember, the devil said that you'll know good from evil. Well, I want you to think about this for a second. Did you realize that they knew what good was? Because God was good to them. In fact, not only was God good to them, they lived in a what? Perfect place. They had no sin. They had everything that they wanted and needed. But the only thing that the devil could come and give them was evil. You realize that? That was the only thing the devil could give them. And let me say this to you tonight, that the only thing the devil can give you is evil. That's it. He's not going to give you anything good. Oh, it may seem like it's good, but let me tell you, the good is for a reason to make it into something that's going to make it bad in your life. Is that right? So as we look at this tonight about the snare of serving little God, I want us to take a little tour through the Old Testament real quick and through the ways that the devil's going to try to snare us. And our next stop is going to be Mount Sinai. And it may seem a little strange to go to a place where God gave Moses the Ten Commandments. But do you realize the devil was there too? In fact, all through from Genesis chapter 3, all through the Old Testament and even in the New Testament, we always see the devil was there, wasn't he? And when Moses led the children of Israel out of bondage in Egypt, they stopped at Mount Sinai, and the Bible says they were there for about 11 months, 11-month stay there at Mount Sinai. And you'll remember that it had been about 400 years since the time of Jacob and Joseph, and at that time many of the tribes had grown and developed, and the cities had been built. And all these people had invaded the land where heathen and they were idolaters and they did not believe in the ultimate Jehovah God. You see, you remember when the Bible says that the next Pharaoh knew not of Joseph. Not only did they know not of Joseph, they didn't even know Joseph's God at that time as well. So these were the inhabitants of the land where Israel was going. Inhabitants that had idolatry and witchcraft and all different types of evil. That was where they were going. And God issued a very serious and stern warning to his people about the danger that they was going to face that was caused by the snare of the devil. Now I want you to take and go over to the Old Testament, to the book of Exodus. Chapter 23. Exodus chapter 23, and I want you to look in verse number 20. Exodus chapter 23 and verse number 20. And notice what it says here. Now, here in chapter 23, the Lord is giving laws to the judges here. He's given different laws. In verse number 20, he says, "Behold, I send an angel before thee, to keep thee in the way, to bring thee into the place which I have prepared. Beware of him and obey his voice. Provoke him not, for he will not pardon your transgressions, for my name is in him. But if thou shalt indeed obey his voice and do all that I speak, then I will be an enemy unto thine enemies and an adversary unto thine adversaries. For mine angel shall go before thee and bring thee in unto the Amorites and to the Hittites and the Perizzites and the Canaanites and the Hivites and the Jebusites and the Termites and all those. And I will cut them off. And they shall not bow down to their gods, nor serve them, nor do after their works, but thou shalt utterly overthrow them and quit break down their images. And ye shall serve the Lord your God, and he shall bless thy bread and thy water. And he goes on and talks about that even more. But I want you to skip down to verse number 33 with me. And they shall not dwell in the lands. Now, what is he talking about? He's talking about these false idols, these false gods. And he says here, for they shall not dwell in thy land, lest they make thee sin against me. For if thou serve their gods, it will surely be a, and what's the word there? Snare unto thee. Do we realize tonight that one of the snares of the devil is to get God's people to serve other gods? Do we realize that? That is one of the tactics and the snares of the devil. Now, we all know this, and I hope that we know this, that there is only one true God. And all of God's people said, amen. Amen. But there are many gods, and little g, I'm using the little g there, that are worshipped by different groups of people. The children of Israel, we know, belong to the Lord. And the Lord demanded and commanded their respect. He commanded their worship. And by the way, he deserved that too. Think about what he did for them. Took them out of the land of Egypt and brought them across the Red Sea. And of course, they could have gotten to the promised land a whole lot sooner than the 40 years if they just would have obeyed what God told them to do. But they didn't. You see, the threat they faced then is the same threat that we face today. And the devil keeps using the same tactics because guess what? They keep working. They keep working. It is a tragic waste of potential for someone who has been washed by the blood of Jesus Christ on their way to heaven to leave God and serve and begin serving other gods. Do you agree with that? And let me make this perfectly clear, okay? Everyone serves something. Everyone serves something. The choice is not between serving and not serving. It is simply who you will worship and serve. And the Israelites here were heading to a land with literally hundreds of idols. They were going there. Each city had their own god or gods, and each family had their own gods and gods. And often these little gods were just maybe a few inches tall. But they put it in a very prominent place in their home. And though they were small, these little gods were just as dangerous. And you and I are just in as much dangerous, you and I are in much of that same dangerous territory as what the children of Israel is. If we don't watch out, and you say, brother, I would never serve any other god but the true God. We need to be careful when we say that. We really do. Now let's look at this warning that God gave the people and see what we need to be looking for in terms of Satan's snares. Now, before we do that, let me remind you of some things. All right? The good news is that we have a God that is, first of all, perfect in love. Isn't that right? He's perfect in love. He's gracious. Aren't you glad we have a gracious God? Amen. Aren't you glad we have a God that forgives sin? 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sin, he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Aren't you glad that we have a God that offers us a place in heaven? Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. And I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you into myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. That's what John 14 says. Aren't you glad we have a God that hears our prayers? Aren't you glad that we have a God that was listening to every one of our prayers that we knelt a while ago and offered to Him? He was listening. Aren't you glad that we have a God that is all-powerful? All-powerful. And aren't you glad that we have a God that meets all of our needs? But my God shall supply all your need according to His riches and glory. Now, wouldn't it be crazy? Wouldn't it be crazy to leave that God behind and worship some other God who is, first of all, not real, right? That has no power, isn't that right? And that offers no help or even hope to our lives, isn't that right? But yet it happens every single day by Christians without even realizing it. Now, many are worshiping. And what are they worshiping? There's a lot of things that people are worshiping. They're worshiping, I call them the four P's. Number one, they're worshiping popularity. They want to be popular. They're also worshiping prosperity, wanting to be rich. Talk a little bit more about that in just a minute. Some other thing that people are worshiping is power or influence. Let me just do a little side note here, okay? You know, and I think I've said this before, but it just reigns so evident. You know, the President of the United States is not a place of power, it's a place of service. And I hear all of these news that change of power. No, it's really not power. It really is. It ought to be service. Our elected officials ought to serve us and not be over us. Isn't that right? Okay. So another word for power could be influence as well, okay? So we have popularity and prosperity and power, but also passion. Maybe even another word, sensuality. And calling it worship of God and service of God, what a tragedy that many people are doing that and calling it the service of God or even the worship of God. So if we wish to avoid the false gods which surround us today, and there are many, and I'll talk a little bit more about that in just a minute, which surrounded the Israelites thousands of years ago, we must do really two things. And I've got 2 points tonight is all. Ready? Number one, we must obey the voice of the Lord unconditionally. Let me give you that again. We must obey the voice of the Lord unconditionally. I want you to look with me back in Exodus 23. Look at verse number 21. In fact, let's go back to verse number 20. Okay, let me give you a little bit of exhortation here. First of all, behold, I send an, what's the word? What's interesting about the word angel there? Did you notice it? The word A is the word A. The letter A, the word, there a word can be A. So I was half right, okay? The letter A in angel is what? Capitalized, which represents a noun, person, place, or thing. Who's that referring to? I believe personally it's a pre-incarnate Jesus Christ is what it is. All right? So behold, I send an angel before thee to keep thee in the way and to bring thee into the place which I have prepared. And then notice verse 21. This is interesting. Now, when I read this, I went, whoa, hold it. Oh, stop. I got to look at this. All right, notice what it says. Beware of him. Hold it. Wait, stop. I'm supposed to beware of God. I'm supposed to beware of Jesus. So guess what I did? I had to do dissect and define. What does that word beware there mean? It literally means this, and this is interesting. It means to guard. It means to protect. And that automatically made me think of the verse, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the what? Issues of life. So what are we supposed to do? Protect our heart, right? So it means to guard, to protect. But it also means this. It means to listen. It means to listen. It means to take heed. Take heed. Listen. Guard your heart. Why? Because we are to obey His voice. Provoke him not. Don't make him angry. Don't make him mad. Don't disappoint him. Don't sin. For he will not pardon your transgressions, for my name is, notice this, in him. I also made us guess, that only made me think of this, that we are, after we're saved, we are automatically placed in Christ. Isn't that right? We're in him. That becomes our identity. Our identity is in Christ. It's in him. And that's how we need to live. And by the way, if Jesus Christ, which lives inside of us and through the Holy Spirit, isn't that right? If he is in us and we are in him, and if we are in him, we are less likely to go after what? False gods. So God said he was sending an angel, which is, I believe, the pre-incarnate Christ here, to prepare the way for them. They were to obey his voice. And God uses different ways to speak to us today. He uses his word. In it, we find his will. We find his way. I mentioned John chapter 14 a while ago about, in my house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you to go prepare a place, that promise. But then he says in verse number 6, Jesus saith unto them, I am the way. You see, when God was taking the children of Israel and protecting them from the Israelite army, the Bible says that there was a pillar of cloud by what? A day and a what? A fire by night. Isn't that right? So he was protecting them, giving them protection during the day from the hot sun. And that showed that his presence was with them. And then at night, the Bible says the fire was like a light. And that made me think about the light of the word. The word was in Psalm 119, verse 105, thy word is a light unto my feet and a light unto my what? So he's directing us. I also thought about this, and I hear all the time, you know, people come, they come in for counseling, and they say, Brother Sides, I had a vision. I had a dream. And many people think that that dream or that vision is from the Lord. And what I want to tell them, it was probably from the pizza you ate last night. Because the Bible says in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 19, it says, we have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well that ye take heed, or to listen, as unto, I love this, as a light that shineth in a dark place. Cloud, pillar, light, until the day dawn and the day star rise in your hearts. So we see as God speaks to us through his word, he also speaks to us through circumstances. All of us could probably give testimony tonight of something we've done in our life, maybe in our past, that made us stop and wait, hold it, I'm heading the wrong direction. We have a principle that we use in Bridge Recovery all the time that says, yeah, hey, listen, we can make our choices, but we cannot choose our consequences. And that's true. Why? Because, listen, our consequences are inevitable. They're going to happen. They're incalculable. We don't know how much we're going to have to pay for it. And we also need to remember that they're only up to God. We don't have anything to do with it. And then his leaders. God speaks through our leaders. God, that's another method by which God speaks to us, is through leaders that God's placed in our life. And I am so thankful that we have a preacher, we have a pastor that preaches the unadulterated word of God and preaches with fire and passion. And let me tell you something, I am thankful for that, aren't you? Amen. The pastor is meant to be God's messengers to his church. And remember, not everyone who claims to be a messenger of God really is. 2 Corinthians chapter 11 tells us, for such are false prophets, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. And I can say this, over my years of ministry, I've seen a steady growth of quote-unquote spokesman for God teaching and preaching something that is totally, totally, totally contrary to the clear teachings of the Word of God. Many people are thus worshiping the false God while thinking they're worshiping the true God. And remember this, listen to this. Anytime you're in rebellion against God, you are susceptible to the snare of the devil. You're susceptible. So let's first remember, we must obey the voice of the Lord unconditionally. Secondly, not only do we need to obey the voice of the Lord unconditionally, but we must serve the Lord exclusively. We must serve the Lord exclusively. Now look at verse number 24, back in Exodus 23. Thou shalt not bow down to their gods, nor serve them, nor do after their works, but thou shalt utterly overthrow them and quite break down their images. And ye shall serve the Lord your God, and he shall bless thy bread and thy water, and I will take sickness away from the midst of thee. The concept of idolatry is kind of really hard to understand. We tend to think of idolatry as worshiping some little statue that we have in our house, or maybe a little candle or something like that. But what is really idol? What is really idol worship? What is really an idol in our lives? Well, I looked up a couple of definitions. One of the definitions I got was this: anything we come to rely upon for blessing, help, or guidance in the place of a wholehearted reliance on the true and living God. That's kind of long, and that's true. But I came up with this one that I like too. Anything that leads your mind and heart away from God. Anything that leads your mind and heart away from God. Now, there was a common thread among many idols found in Scripture that reveals a very fascinating thing about idolatry. Now, let me say this. What are some of the idols that we, as I'd say as Americans, or maybe our culture, serves today? I wrote down just a few: money, entertainment, sex, comfort, phones, fame, power, selfishness, instant gratification. Well, we see a lot of that dealing with people with stubborn habits and addictions. They want that quick self-gratification. I want it, and I want it now. Of course, that we know that's sin is from a pride issue. I, the middle letter of pride, which is I. But do you remember the story of Aaron and the golden calf? I know you do. While Moses was on Mount Sinai receiving the law from God, the people grew discouraged. They thought Moses would not return, so they asked Aaron to do what? Make them an idol. What was that idol? Golden calf. But listen to this. I want you to see a thread here. I want you to see a thread. Something that, as I read some of these verses, and what is a common denominator here, okay? In Exodus 32:2, it says this: And Aaron said to them, Break off the golden earrings, which are in the ears of your wives and your sons and your daughters, and bring them unto me. Hundreds of years later, I found something else that Gideon did in Judges chapter 8 when it says this: And Gideon said unto them, I would desire a request of you that ye would give me every man the earrings of his prey. Now, the reason they had golden earrings because they were Ishmaelites at that time. And the Bible says, And they answered, We will willingly give them. And they spread a garment and did cast therein every man the earrings of his prey. And the weight of the golden earrings that he requested was 1,700 shekels of gold, besides ornaments and collars and purple raiment. that was on the kings of Midian beside the chains that were about their camels' necks. And Gideon made an ephod thereof and put it in his city, even of Ophrah. And all of Israel went thither a whoring after it, which thing became, listen to this, a snare unto Gideon and his house. Interesting. A snare. Now Gideon, the Bible says that Gideon made an idol out of the spoils of the victory that God gave them, specifically out of golden earrings of the Midianites. We also find this story about Jacob. After returning to Bethel, after he met with God, in Genesis 35:4, it says this, and they gave unto Jacob all the strange gods which were in their land, in their hand, and all their earrings which were in their ears, and Jacob hid them under the oak which was at or by Shechem. Interesting. If we went over to 1 Kings chapter 12, we find that King Jeroboam placed golden calves there and to create kind of a homegrown version of the Israelite religion that, of course, did not involve Jerusalem nor its temple. Now, I just read those verses to you. What did you see as a connection there? Did you catch it? You say, I don't know, Brother Earl. That's why I'm here. I'm to tell you that. All right? I thought this was very interesting. What's the connection between idols and earrings in the Bible? Now, let me stop right here. All right? Because I know what some of you are thinking. I'm not preaching against earrings, okay? I'm not, all right? Everybody understand that? Okay, good. I want to make that clear. But listen, there's a connection between idols and earrings here. And the connection is an idol is one who holds your attention. Can I even maybe even take it a little step further? An idol is one who holds your hearing. Where do you hear from? From your ears. You hear from your ears. And what does God want us to do? Take heed. To listen. To hear Him. To obey His voice. Isn't that right? So, an idol is one who is the voice in which you listen to. Whatever or whoever it is, the one who has your ear is the one that you are worshiping. That's the point. The one who has your ear, whether it's the Lord and the Holy Spirit that speaks, if it's the Word, or is it all the noise that's going on around the world that we're listening to? What is it for you? You know, this really does magnify the importance of discerning the voice of God and listening to Him rather than the voice of idolaters. And not only are these idols made of earrings, but they were also made of what? Did you recognize it? Did you catch it? What were these earrings made out of? Gold. What does that tell us? He wants your value. He wants your value. Gold is valuable, isn't it? Have you checked an ounce of what gold is going for now? It's unbelievable. Now, though we don't live in a culture that has widespread distribution of little statues, and by the way, they are out there, we are still in danger of idolatry. And too many Christians are falling into the snare for it to be ignored. And let me tell you something. All of us could fall into the snare of the devil. And that's why that we need to do these two things. We need to first of all do what? We must obey the voice of the Lord unconditionally. And secondly, what do we need to do? We must also serve the Lord exclusively. Let's bow our heads. as we have a moment of invitation, let me just ask you just a few questions I just really want you to think about tonight. First of all, have you fallen into the snare of the devil? You know, one of those idols that I did not mention that I should have, and I didn't just because of this. One of the idols that a lot of people are serving is the idol of self. Have you fallen for the snare of serving yourself? And by the way, the devil is fine with you serving yourself. What absorbs your imagination and heart more than God? Have you identified what you rely on for your help and guidance? Is it God's word or is it something else? And I pray that tonight, that we'd all take an inventory of our lives tonight and see exactly what we are, what we really are serving. Are we serving our sinful self? Are we serving these false gods? Are we really serving the true God? And if you're here tonight and you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, let me encourage you. Tonight is a night you can get forgiveness of sins and come to Him in the free pardon of sin and accept Him as your personal Savior. Father, we're so thankful for the Word and thankful for what you've shown us tonight. And I pray this has been a help. It's been a help to me as I've meditated on it for the last several hours. I pray it was clear and concise, and that none of us would set up any idols in our heart, that we would protect it and guard it. And Lord, that you would lead us and that you would be, we keep our eyes and focused on you. And Lord, we love you so much. Thank you for what you've done for us. Thank you that you are our true God. We give you glory for that in Jesus' name.